rejoices. And we chose this just because, I don't know, celebrating just feels different right now. How can we celebrate when there is so much death and injustice and strife and division happening right now? Even if we do try to celebrate, they look different, right? People are missing. People are having to stay at their own homes. It's just definitely a unique time. 400 years, though, as you listen to Pastor Jeremy's message, he goes through some of the history, but 400 years of silence was interrupted by the cry of a baby.
Come on.
God was finally speaking again after 400 years of silence. But he wasn't speaking in a burning bush anymore. He wasn't speaking in a thundering voice from heaven. He was speaking in flesh and bone, born of a Virgin Mary into poverty, born into a body that needed care and love and one that you could hold in your arms and kiss. What a good God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes, ma'am.
But you know what? Things didn't suddenly just get better, right? Mm-hmm. If we keep reading on in Matthew 2, verse 18 says, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." Jesus' birth had made Herod fly into a rage of jealousy, killing Jewish children. Death and injustice. But yet, Emmanuel had come.
Yes, Lord.
So we know that the L part of that is God, so it's actually with us God, the with us God.
That's it.
The first time this was used was in Isaiah 7. Let's go there, okay? I'll put some of the verses on the screen and recap some of it for you too, but let's go to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. I'll summarize just that first part. It can be a little bit confusing, but King Ahaz was a very foolish, evil king. He was known for idolatry, and not just some idolatry, but it was quoted the most monstrous of idolatry. Isaiah goes to him with a message from God. Because Ahaz is just totally upset. He's very worried. Our two other, Syria and Ephraim have teamed up against him. So he is just beside himself with fear.
Yes, ma'am.
So he gets this message from the Lord, and we'll pick up in verse 7 here. So Isaiah 7:7, and this is God's message to him. It says, "But this was the sovereign Lord, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place, for Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it will be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria. And Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, son of Remaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand."
Yep.
So what is happening here? God is inviting him, saying, this is not going to happen. You don't have any reason to worry. You just need to have faith, right? You just need to believe in me. What does Ahaz say? He says no. Let's pick up in 11. Oh, sorry, verse 10. There we go. Verse 10, "Later the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz." So second message from God. "Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as the heavens or as deep as the place of the dead." But the king refused. "No," he said, "I will not test the Lord like that." Then Isaiah said, "Listen well, your royal family of David, you royal family of David, isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God gives him a second chance to accept the withness of God. And he says no. Instead, if we keep reading, that he says no. He still is looking for another person to team up with in order to defeat an enemy. Another person. He has God or another person. How many times do we forsake the God with us, the with us God, for other things, for other people? That is his invitation to us today. The with us God's birth is an invitation to walk with him.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
We have a choice whether or not to evoke the presence of God. Yes, he is with us always, but just like Peter and I live at the same house, we could live at the same house and actually not ever interact very much. And after almost 20 years of marriage, there's sometimes that tendency, but we have to. We have that opportunity to connect on a deeper level,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Actually connect, not just coexist. And this with us God does not, he doesn't ever say we're going to escape trials and temptations and emotions, right? The one time I heard God's audible voice to me was when we were having our fourth child, and I had some crazy idea that I would go without an epidural this time. And as it was getting to the point where I could not bear it on my own, I remember turning to the side and going, God, I need you. And you know what he said to me? I heard him say, I'm with you.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Now, did he relieve the pain? No. Did he give me the strength to get through? Yes, we have a beautiful baby boy that we adore.
Yes, Lord.
So when God says that he is with us, it means that he will not leave, forsake, or fail you.
Come on.
It means that you need not fear any evil. It means that you will not lack what you have need of.
Lord.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if he could just let us float above the trials? Like, you know, ascend into heaven and nothing touches us and we're all great and everything's great. But no, he does the opposite. He comes down.
Come on, Pastor.
To us, with us, walking in our shoes so that then we can walk in his. And that is the hope. Hope isn't always something, isn't always the thought of something good happening. Hope is the presence of the purpose of the person of Jesus. Hope is the presence of the person of Jesus. That is the thrill of hope that the song lyrics say. Let's read them right now. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. I love that line. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night Jesus cares for us. Hebrews 4:15 says this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. And that means to suffer, to feel pain together, empathy. Some translations do say sympathy, but when you study out that word, it means feeling pain together, which we now know to be empathy. Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquitted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. That man of sorrows, when you study that out, that means to be in pain physically, but it also means to be in pain mentally.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus' lived experience on earth was wide and varied, just like ours is. Let's go through some of the ways that he shares in our experience now. Mm. He was tempted. He was disrespected. He was betrayed. He was abused, despised, and rejected. We just read that verse. He experienced a humiliating and shameful death. He was abandoned by his close friends. Has anybody been there? You identify with any of these? But he also felt compassion, deep distress, anger, indignation, depression, forsaken, grief. He felt, hold on. And he felt crushing grief, pain, genuine love, anxiousness, pressured. He felt sadness. He felt joy. He felt troubled. He felt boiling passion, stern displeasure. He felt tearful. He felt weary. He felt glad. He felt peace. He felt afraid. He felt afraid. At one point, and this wasn't that long ago, and maybe some of you have had this revelation before, but I was asking the question, God, how do I know how you feel about me, or how you see me? And he brought to mind the fruits of the Spirit. And what he was sharing with me was that if having the Holy Spirit produces those fruits in me, that is who he is.
Yes, Lord.
Himself. He can't produce fruit in someone else of things that he's not of. So he is love towards you. He is joy towards you.
Yes,
he
Lord.
Is peace towards you. He is patient towards you. He is kind towards you.
Yes,
he is
Lord.
Good towards you.
Yes, Lord.
He is faithful towards you.
Amen.
And he is self-controlled that he hasn't smited any of us yet. Right? So how are you? I ask again, how are you? I think all of us know what it's like to be without, and so then we can grasp a hold of what it's the power of what it's like to be with, right? We've experienced without, now we know the power of with. I love God's question to Adam and Eve right after they sinned. Do you know what it was? It wasn't, what have you done? Why did you do that? That is oftentimes my first response when my children do something. What were you thinking? What was it? It was, where are you?
Yes, God.
That
yes,
was his
God.
First question. Where are you? And it wasn't to condemn them. It was because they had this relationship of walking together in the garden, and all of a sudden, Adam and Eve weren't there. Where are you? We were connecting. God already knew what they had done. Isn't that so good? He wants that relationship with you. He wants to walk with
now.
You no matter what. Has has happened, no matter what any of us have done. I love this quote from Brian Zahn. He said, "The one scandal of Good Friday is that Jesus was but one of three crucified that day. Jesus is not crucified as a lone sufferer, but as Emmanuel among the sufferers."
Come on, man.
Even unto death. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And this is a short message this morning so that we can do some searching about where we are.
Yes, Lord.
Inviting Jesus to sit with us. Evoking Emmanuel. Okay, so if I could have Peter come play. We're going to do some of that work right now. Is that okay?
Yes, Lord.
And we're going to be okay if there's tears. This is a safe place for you to explore emotion just like we saw that Jesus did. So I want you to put your hand on your stomach right here. Babies know how to breathe right? We somehow lose it along the way. So I want you to take some deep breaths in, but your hand needs to move, okay? That's the proper way we're supposed to breathe. And then I want you to acknowledge where you are this morning. To acknowledge where you are this morning. We're not wallowing in self-pity.
Come on.
Right now. We're asking that the with us God would come, that he would come in comfort, that then he would come and speak truth to you, because sometimes how we're feeling isn't always true, right? Have the lights low. Let's be inviting Jesus to sit with you, to comfort you, to speak truth to you this morning. He was with you when you felt rejected. He's with you in that grief right now. He's moving with compassion upon you if you are dealing with depression. Thank you. given you the tools to be able to accomplish what he desires. Remember Emmanuel, you lack nothing. If any of you are saying this morning that you don't know Jesus, you want him to be with you, he's available for you. Maybe you haven't made that commitment, that step of faith. I want to invite you to do that this morning. Let us know, we'll pray with you. If you could slip up your hand, you can come talk to us after service. That's you, please let us know. What are you hearing from the Lord this morning? Does anyone want to share that would encourage us? What's he sharing with you? Thank you.
Probably not.